Good morning and welcome to Senate Finance. The date is February 5th, 2013. We're going to be hearing the supplemental budget presented by Karen Rayfield today, the Director of Office of Management and Budget. Present at the table are Senator Meyer, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and Senator Fairclough has a bill in the Senate State Affairs Committee that she has to present, so she'll probably come into the meeting a little later on. We're going to hear, as I said, we're going to hear the supplemental. We won't be taking action on this today, obviously, but we do want to hear the highlights of it. And Director Rayfield, if you would come to the front, and anyone you want to have up accompany you, please feel free. And I, gentlemen, if I could ask you to hold your questions until she gets to the end, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Ms. Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. The bill before you this morning, Mr. Chairman, is Senate Bill 42, is the fiscal year 2013 supplemental request. In addition to the bill, I provided the committee with a one-page summary of the supplemental and then also a 13-page spreadsheet of the individual transactions that are included in the supplemental bill. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd like to just try to hit the highlights, and then certainly I'm available for questions. We also have representatives from the departments in the room that can help provide you with more details if the highlights are not sufficient for this morning. Mr. Chairman, the supplemental request before you totals $24,456,000. You can see from the one-page summary that we provided that there is a reduction in general funds of $2,877,700. Designated general funds increase $4,200.
Ms. Rayfield, could you stop just for a second? I'm not sure where the one page is. Thank you. Thanks, Marta. Proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Other funds in the supplemental bill total $24,464,600 and federal funds requested of $2,864,900. On the one-page summary, you'll see that the total operating supplementals are actually a decrease of $3,344,000. To highlight some of the key pieces in the supplemental request, we are asking for an additional $5.3 million based on our estimates of fire suppression activities for the remainder of this current fiscal year. There's a request for $3.4 million in disaster relief. $900,000 of that particular item is related to the September storms that we had, and then the remainder would be in anticipation of spring flooding, which we typically do experience on an annual basis. We are seeing a reduction in the formula program for Medicaid. You'll see a $25 million general fund decrement in that particular component. You'll also see a debt service reduction of a little over $6 million in general funds. And then there are eight judgments and settlements that have been brought forward from the Department of Law, and those total $4,775,800. We have a couple of capital supplemental items that total $27.8 million, of which $3.8 million is general funds. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. To quickly just give you a breakdown of Senate Bill 42, the bill contains 19 sections, and we'll walk through this spreadsheet, but just to let you know kind of the structure of the bill, Section 1 is the operating numbers portion of the bill, and you'll find that on pages 2 through 4. Section 2 is the funding summary by department for those particular items that you typically see in the bill. Section 3 are the capital number sections, followed by a funding summary in Section 4. And Section 5 of the bill, which is on pages 6 and 7, is the funding summary for all of the items contained in both the operating and capital. The language sections of the bill begin on page 8. There's a section related to the Department of Fish and Game, section number 6. scope change and some additional industry receipts, and we'll talk about those in more detail. Section 7 is for the Department of Health and Social Services on page 8. That is also to provide for some carry forward of bonus payments that the Department of Health and Social Services receives as a result of their performance with the managing the Children's Health Insurance Program. Section 8 of the bill is related to the Department of Law. That's on page 8 also. That has items related to the settlements that I mentioned earlier in subsection A. There's also language in there to allow us to pay judgments that occur after the legislature adjourns and before the end of the current fiscal year. There's also a request for to increase the appropriation for litigation related to the Fast Ferry engines and to extend the lapse date of that appropriation through June 30 of 2014. Section 9 of the bill is on page 9 is for the Department of Natural Resources. This has to do with extending a lapse date on an oil and gas appropriation through June 30 of 2015. Section 10 on page 9 also is for the Department of Public Safety, reappropriation of some previous appropriations for aircraft, hangar, and statewide facilities maintenance to a statewide aircraft hangar improvement project. Section 11 is for the Department of Revenue. There are two items in that particular component. Subsection A on page 9 has to do with reappropriating funding from Lusac Manor project that was completed in Anchorage to be combined with some other funding sources for the San Roberto Mountain View development, which will provide an additional 96 units of low-income housing in Anchorage. There's also a request to reappropriate prior funds for payment card, credit card security that went to the Department of Revenue for oil and gas fiscal systems analysis. Under Section 12, Mr. Chairman, under the Department of Transportation and Public Facility, we have two pieces, one for ongoing litigation for the Ruth Burnett Sport Fish Hatchery in Fairbanks, $750,000, and some compliance language for federal right-of-way receipts. Section 13 on page 10 has to do with debt and other obligations. In this particular area, we're requesting your support for replacing general funds for geobond debt service with a little over $1 million in debt retirement funds. Also a shift for the international airports to balance the utilization of their construction funds and the receipts that they receive from the airport customers. There's also a reduction of $5 million in debt service for school debt reimbursement. As you know, we bring before you a projection of what voter-approved bonds will be sold and in repayment for the next year. So there's a $5 million balance in there based on their actual debt service payments in the current year. Section 14 on page 13 of the bill has to do with disaster relief. I mentioned that earlier, $3.4 million. Section 15 is for fund transfers. This is specific to allow compliance with some federal audit findings regarding revenue that's collected from shooting ranges, waterfowl conservation stamps, and sanctuary access permits that should be going into the Fish and Game Fund. So that's just a compliance piece. Section 16, Mr. Chairman, on page 13 of the bill is specific to a ratification for fire suppression from the fiscal year 2012 budget. As you know, it's very difficult to predict the actual expenditures under fire suppression from one year to the next. So you'll see a request to ratify $2.9 million in prior year spending. Section 17 of the bill is the lapse of appropriations. You'll see that for the reappropriations that we're requesting, those would have a capital project lapse. The sections relating to disaster relief and the Fish and Game Fund are capitalizations of funds and do not lapse. And then the retroactivity piece in Section 18 has to do with fire suppression. with the effective date of June 30, 2012, and then the DOT right-of-way receipts that I mentioned earlier are also retroactive to June 30, 2012. And section 19, Mr. Chairman, is the effective date of the bill, which is April 14, 2013. So with that, if we could, Mr. Chairman, turn to the supplemental spreadsheet. What I would do is with the willingness of the committee is just highlight the items, particularly in the operating and capital number sections of the bill before you, and of course then entertain questions. So Mr. Chairman, on page one of the spreadsheet, you'll see how this spreadsheet is organized is there's line numbers on the left-hand side. So I'll try to refer to the line number so you know where I'm referring to. We also have corresponding backup that's page numbered sequentially, so you can find that. We also include the bill section, page, and line number for you, so you can kind of track to the bill if that's what you'd like to do. But generally, I'll just highlight the pieces that are included in here. So, Mr. Chairman, on lines 2 and 3 of the spreadsheet, both of these are related to the Alcohol, Beverage, and Control Board. These are program receipts that are requested specific to legal assistance and maintaining an underage drinking enforcement program. These both of these requests are included in the governor's FY14 budget that are before you for consideration. Under on line 4, this is for the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. As you know, ADA has been requested to participate and assist in several large project development and financing options. They are seeking some additional capacity to hire some technical expertise that they need to help with that work. This $200,000 in ADA receipts is also requested in the governor's FY2014 budget. Line 5, this is for the Department of Fish and Game. This relates to the Fish and Game Fund compliance piece that I spoke about earlier. This would actually be the appropriation for the waterfowl and sanctuary access permit fees from Fish and Game funds instead of program receipts. Line 6, again, that is in compliance with the federal findings. You'll see $303,900 related to the depositing shooting range fees into the Fish and Game Fund. Mr. Chairman, lines 7 and 8 are in the Department of Health and Social Services. These both have to do with the Pioneers Homes. We are seeing a couple of different things. One is uncollectible revenue that you see on line 8, and then also increases in food services, laundry, janitorial, and other contracts for the Pioneers Homes. When we prepared the FY13 budget last year, we had anticipated that the Pioneers Homes would be able to absorb some of these contract increases because they had actually lapsed some funds in the prior year. The combination of the increases and the unrealized revenue made it a situation where they aren't able to absorb these in the current year. We are also considering this for a budget amendment. This was not included in the 14 budget that was released in December. So these are one of the items that we're looking at very carefully for the amendments that come to you next week. We also, on line 9, Mr. Chairman, have a request for some security at the Anchorage office building for the Office of Children's Services. You may be aware of some of the incidents that they have had there. There's a concern for the safety of not only the employees in the building, but also the families that are served. So we're seeking your support to help cover some of the costs for increased security in that building. We're also considering a change to the 14 budget as it relates to that item. Mr. Chairman, on line 10, this is in, I mentioned earlier the carry forward language that we have included for the federal unrestricted revenue that comes to the Department of Health and Social Services for their bonus payments for the Children's Health Insurance Program. We are anticipating this being available on an ongoing basis, and we are requesting support for these funds in the frontline social workers component of health and social services. Also, in frontline social workers, you will see in the 14 budget the social worker class study implementation. We're requesting that also in the supplemental bill. Foster care base rate on line 12 has to do with Social Security income that's available for child support for children in state custody. These are designated program receipts, $900,000, and that is included in the governor's 2014 request. Mr. Chairman, on line 14, I'll just highlight line 14. Line 13 is a fund switch. On line 14 is a specific item for medical cost increases in the Division of Juvenile Justice component for medical costs for kids in detention facilities. They are not eligible for Medicaid coverage if they are in a detention facility. This $400,000 general fund request is also included in the 14 budget before you. Alaska Temporary Assistance Program on line 15 of the spreadsheet, $795,000 in federal funds, has to do with the providing services, cash assistance, and work services to low-income families with children. This is based on an increase in the number of individuals who are eligible for this assistance. This is also included in the 14 budget. We have $925,000 for general relief assistance as well on line 16, which is also included in the governor's 2014 budget. Mr. Chairman, if I could skip to line 19 to highlight the healthcare access and service delivery evaluation and system development. Again, this is that federal unrestricted revenue that I spoke to you earlier. As you know, the Department of Health and Social Service has been very proactive in addressing and looking at ways to provide more efficient delivery of healthcare services and evaluation of our healthcare service delivery needs. This funding will allow the department to continue those efforts, and it's unrestricted federal funds that are available for this purpose. Medicaid cost containment on line 20, you'll see the $25 million decrement in that program. The Department of Health and Social Services has implemented several cost-saving measures. We're seeing some very positive results. This has to do with changes in the prescription drugs and use of generics, looking at dual coverage, more client and home-based services so that you avoid the expense of emergency room care. Several things that have made a significant difference in our Medicaid costs, so we're able to take that reduction in the supplemental bill. Under the Department of Labor, Mr. Chairman, we are requesting $942,900 on line 21 of the spreadsheet. This has to do with lease cost increases in two buildings for the Department of Labor, one in Juneau and one in Anchorage. The department simply is not able to absorb this large of a lease cost increase in their existing budget. We have included it in the 2014 budget that's before you. I mentioned fire suppression already, $5.3 million on line 22. Also on line 23, Mr. Chairman, under the Department of Public Safety, you may be aware the last couple of years we've been dealing with the Bureau of Highway Patrol that had a portion of their funding covered by federal national highway safety funds. They're no longer available for non-DUI related activities. This last fund switch will allow the Bureau of Highway Patrol and Public Safety to be funded with general funds. So this would cover both DUI and non-DUI related activities. And that we do, Mr. Chairman, have that request in the governor's budget that's before you. Perhaps I could go to Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, line 25, 26, and 27. They have some specific requests related to legal fees on line 25. related to a case at the Quinnecock Airport and some work that they are doing with that community. Stormwater compliance on line 26, $155,000 is part of a consent decree with the Environmental Protection Agency. We also have funding in the governor's FY 2014 budget for that. On line 27, maintenance and operation of the new Acutan Airport. As you may know, that airport opened on the 1st of September. We have a requested funding for this in the FY 14 budget as well. And then, Mr. Chairman, on line 28, there's a specific item related to $200,000 for the Alaska Marine Highway System retiree health insurance increases. And this is specific to the marine bargaining units, inland boatmen's, master's mates, and I think it's engineers, marine engineers. So those are the three unions. We've included that in the FY 14 budget. And then finally, on line 29 for operating, we have a request for the court system. There is there was a judge appointed in the Superior Court in Bethel who is hearing impaired. These are specific accommodations for transcription and other services for that judicial officer. Mr. Chairman, on the capital items, beginning on line 32, the Petersburg Borough Incorporated, and as you know, we provide a three-year grant for incorporations. The first year is $300,000, then $200,000, then $100,000. When we have an incorporation, we typically bring this forward as a capital item to request full funding for the 3 years that of the borough incorporation grant. On line 33 of the spreadsheet, Mr. Chairman, for capital, we are requesting under the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation $3.2 million in general funds that came from the National Mortgage Settlement Fund. You may recall last spring, we received word that as a result of a national settlement regarding the mortgage industry across the country, Alaska would be eligible for $3.2 million of that. What we're proposing to do is utilize this $3.2 million plus $22 million of AHFC bonding authority and the reappropriations I spoke to earlier from the LUSAC Manor project that's completed now in Anchorage. So we put together multiple funding sources to be able to move forward on the San Roberto and Mountain View developments that will provide an additional 96 units in Anchorage for low-income housing. And Mr. Chairman, with that, I think the rest of the spreadsheet I highlighted generally when we went through the sections of the bill. And I think I will just stop here and see if there are specific questions.
What I'm going to do, Karen, just for a moment, is take a brief at ease and allow the members to kind of look through their packet and get your thoughts collected if you have some questions, all right? Brief at ease. ...than we've seen in the past few years. I think last year was somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million or something like that. Is that?
Yes.
Questions from members of the committee? Senator Dunleavy?
To the chair. I think it would be item 22, replace federal pass-through funds from Alaska Highway Safety Office. And this is because the funds are being withdrawn by the federal government, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dunleavy, the funding will still be received by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. What won't be happening is the money will not be coming to the Department of Public Safety in order for them to continue the efforts of the Bureau of Highway Patrol. So we're requesting the fund switch, basically, to have it be a generally funded program.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the bottom of page 7, you refer to the maintenance and operation of the new Acutan Airport. And I've met with several of the members of the community there, and the requirements to provide service to and from the airport as required by FAA, and the solution thereof using the hovercraft seems to not be working because of the rough waters during that strait there. So what are these funds being utilized for?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, these funds are specific to the operations of the airport on Accoon. There's a number of issues associated with the transportation between the airport on Accoon and the city of Accutan. The hovercraft right now that's being operated, apparently there are some concerns with the days that it's not able to operate because of the weather, and there's also concerns with the expense. I think that the borough and the city and the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities are having conversations now about what other alternatives would be reasonable to provide the transportation back and forth to the airport and affordable, including such things as landing crafts or helicopters. For many, many years, as you know, the Grumman Goose was used to provide service, and those are no longer available. So it is a concern, and they're working on ways to mitigate that.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I might follow up, while these dialogues are taking place, do you anticipate recommendations to this committee to address those concerns so that the state of Alaska meets its responsibilities to FAA for access to the Accutan Airport this session?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, I'm certain if there is something that needs to be brought forward in the legislature and is in session, we will do that. At this moment, I don't know that they are far enough along in that process to bring a recommendation forward, but I know that the work's continuing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could you make sure, Karen, that your staff keeps him in the loop, keeps Senator Hoffman in the loop on that as you learn more, please? And let the record reflect that Senator Fairclough has returned from her conflicting committee meeting in State Affairs and is present at the table. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Rayfield. Ms. Rayfield, my question is on the first item, line 2, the Department of Law Legal Assistance, when we moved the ABC board from public safety to commerce. It looks like you're asking for an additional $62,500 for legal assistance. Could you explain why there's more legal assistance needed since we moved it to commerce versus keeping it in public safety?
And Ms. Rayfield, before you answer that, could you include in your comments, I'm sure this was a big battle that was fought moving this, and I'm just not aware of it. Could you kind of give a little history on this as well?
Mr. Chairman, and Co-Chair Meyer, I'm not certain I'm the best person to give you the history on the transfer from public safety to the Department of Commerce. I think specific to the request in the supplemental bill, my understanding is not that there's more legal fees. I think what the difference is the way the cost allocations were done between the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Commerce. So, for example, in public safety, I believe that their cost allocation plan was allocated on the number of positions, and I don't think that this particular program, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, has a number of positions in comparison to other in the divisions in the Department of Public Safety. In the Department of Commerce, their charges would be specific to the amount of work. So the Alcohol Beverage Control Board does have a significant workload related to legal services. So they're being charged more on the cost per service versus the cost or an allocation by employee. I'm certain someone in the room could probably give you better, more detailed information, but that's my understanding of it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Rayfield, and Mr. Chairman, yeah, this was a debate last year, you know, where was the best place for ABC board to be, whether it be commerce or public safety. But I don't recall the extra cost coming up as an issue, and I don't recall it being brought up when we discussed the fiscal note. So this is a little bit of a surprise, and perhaps had we known this last year, this extra cost, we may not, that may have affected some members' decisions on whether or not to make this transfer. I don't know, maybe some other members had this discussion, but I don't recall it.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair Meyer, I believe that there was at least some discussion of the differences in how these costs would be allocated in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development's fiscal note, but perhaps this wasn't as, the amount of legal work that's actually required may not have been fully addressed in the fiscal note.
Senator Fairclough?
Mr. Chairman, do you want a brief breakdown of the
question? I would, thank you.
First off, for the record, I voted against this particular move. Mm-hmm. But the issue, as I recall, was that under public safety, the department was treating owners of businesses in the alcohol industry as trying to think of the right word. They were being punitive. They would be punishing someone instead of educating someone. And so a brewery, I think actually up in your area, a distillery up in your area had been given inaccurate information. And it caused a business owner to, if the law would have continued forward, the business owner would have lost a substantial amount of capital investment. And so the conversation in the legislature last session was, is this a business decision where you want people to be successful in the alcohol industry and responsible, but successful and be given the opportunity to educate them about the laws that they may be infringing upon and hold them accountable to? And so there was just a split between should you be going in and penalizing somebody, and the argument on the floor was that the public safety aspect would remain the same and constant, and that the body decided that Commerce would be more appropriate to handle the administrative functions of the licensing, like every other licensure, like hairdressers, like other people, that Department of Commerce was more equipped to support the industry in that manner, but public safety would still be there on the compliance arm.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Fairclough. Any other questions? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Karen, line 7, I know I might be getting down in the weeds, is just for this $460,000 increment across the food service, laundry, and janitorial services in the Pioneers home, that's statewide, or is that one particular home? Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bishop, that would be statewide.
Okay, thank you. And just one brief follow-up, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Senator Bishop.
And that was just an unforeseen increase in food services. I mean, cost of food's going up, I know that, and I know they probably do the best they can to forecast their budgeting, but they maybe just missed the mark here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bishop, I believe that they knew that their costs were going up. I thought that they believed they would have the ability to manage that within the current budget, but that compounded with some other revenue that was no longer available to them, some unrealized receipts compounded the issue. So they're not able to absorb it in the current year budget. So that's why we're bringing it before you now, and also considering it for an amendment for 14, because it's not in the current budget before you either.
Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one other additional question. That's on page 5, line 20. The $25 million reduction to because of Medicaid cost containment. My question, I guess, is this one-time cost containment, or will we see the costs continue in outgoing years?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, we believe that those efforts are going to continue to try to control the cost of providing the Medicaid program. What we're seeing in the 14 budget that's before you right now is there is an increase in the projected number of individuals who will be eligible for Medicaid. the cost will be driven by the number of people who actually enroll and utilize services and then being able to manage the costs. So if the department is successful in continuing these cost-saving measures and perhaps even implementing others, we're hoping to contain the cost curve given the increased number of individuals who are eligible.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Rayfield, thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Rayfield, as you look at item number 9 on page 2, I'm assuming that this $390,000 for the installation of and construction is an ongoing issue. Is that, am I reading correctly?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, yes, we are considering some additional funding in the FY14 budget, although we did have some amount in the December budget. We didn't realize the extent to which the need is in terms of cost for these different security improvements. So we're considering that now for a budget amendment, but there will be some ongoing costs.
It would just appear to me that if you're constructing and installing something, it would be a one-time expense as opposed to something that's ongoing, though, at least to that magnitude.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, there will be some pieces of it that are one-time in terms of the surveillance cameras and that type of thing, but there will be some ongoing costs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Rayfield, the hatchery up in Fairbanks. It's the gift that keeps on giving. What's up with that?
Mr. Chairman, there are actually two pieces in the supplemental bill related to the fish hatchery in Fairbanks. The one is the settlement under the Department of Law with the contractor.
Can I interrupt for you just for a second? Could you redirect me to where it is in the spreadsheet?
Yes, let me find that for you. Page 9 at the bottom of the spreadsheet. Of course, mine is just through the hole punches. Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, in the and that's on page 8, line 19 of the bill. But you'll see in it's on line 39 of your spreadsheet if you're looking for that.
Okay.
There is a total of $4,775,800 requested for the settlements and judgments, and a piece of that is for specific to the Fairbanks fish hatchery for the contractor who actually did the work on the building about 3.7. I'm looking for the backup page number. It's 3,638.1 is specific to the contractor who did the work, and there were cost overruns because of design flaws and other issues. So this will pay the contractor for the work that they did, and then there is a request specifically to work on ongoing litigation to try to recover some of those costs from the company who did the work.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, Ms. Rayfield. Appreciate you coming here and making this presentation. So the committee has heard the operating budget, the capital budget, the supplemental budget, the mental health budget as well. We've got presentations from all of those. Those bills have been heard and held, so they're in the committee awaiting action at a later date. I assume there will be some changes based on some of the subcommittee recommendations or things that we might learn from now to the end of the session, but they are in committee and we're moving forward on this. Ms. Rayfield, if you'd like to pack up and go back to your seat, that's fine. Thank you so much.
As always, agree. I do have some further questions.
Oh, you do? Senator Olson, my apologies.
Ms. Rayfield, as you look at some of the issues that are out there, one of the things on page 9, item 36, has to do with the reappropriation of the capstone money that was out there for, I think, $125,000. It would seem counterproductive to go ahead and, or at least the intent of most aircraft operators is to go ahead and put capital improvements into their aircraft, while engine maintenance that's been noted here is more of a operating expense as opposed to capital. Why is that a reappropriation going on, especially since the capstone project is, I realize it's dealing with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and that's where many of the accidents with fishing game and fishing wildlife have been happening. I guess I don't necessarily agree with that reappropriation going on over there to do maintenance on these engines that are out there, because I've got a, obviously I've got a copy of the number of accidents that have happened already within this last year, with pictures that show a number of ground strikes with these props. And every time you have a ground strike, it's an automatic teardown for those engines. And I'm sure as a former air taxi person like yourself are well aware of that those are expensive already. So I think those should, I guess I don't agree with the reappropriation of taking money out of Capstone, which I feel is very important, and putting it into something that's more of an ongoing maintenance issue, which should be in the operating budget.
Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, and I'm sure that the department can give you more details on that request, but my understanding is the areas where these aircraft are being operated don't have the Capstone capability, or the location, the area doesn't have the Capstone capability. I certainly don't disagree with you on your comments about maintenance, how we have traditionally funded the ongoing maintenance for some of these smaller aircraft has been through an annual maintenance appropriation in the capital budget, and the department certainly would be very interested in having additional funding for maintenance of, because it is an ongoing issue, as you note.
Sure. Just the last comment on that, Mr.
Senator Olson.
Chairman, and that has to do with, I just don't agree with the necessarily the reappropriation going from that. My last question, Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Rayfield, if I could, on page 12, item 51, you're dealing with the disaster relief funding that's going on out there. One of the communities in my area is Kivalina, and I would just like to know an update on the status of what's going on with the disaster relief there in Kivalina related to the significant erosion that's been happening during this last fall, and where are we at on that, and as far as the financial relief for those efforts that are going on there?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I am not able to answer that question. I'd have to get the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to get you some information, and I will certainly do that.
If you would, please. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Rayfield. Appreciate it. On Wednesday, we're going to be hearing SB 29, the Cruise Ship Wastewater Discharge Bill. We'll have Commissioner Hartig from DEC come and make a presentation on that. And on Thursday, we'll be taking public testimony regarding that bill as well. I'll be gone. Of course, these are bills that are under the purview of Senator Meyer, so he'll naturally be hearing those bills. And I'll be out of town for a few days, but I'll be back on Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, any other business come before the committee? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, too, I think that I think next week we will ask the various department heads to come before this committee, and we'll be going through their capital budget in a little more detail. So members may want to be prepared if there's any questions on various capital requests that the departments have, that we will be bringing them up and going through those in a little more detail than what we have been doing here recently.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, we are adjourned.